have a good word.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And a good time celebrating our mothers and grandmothers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good.
Yes. All the time.
And all the time.
The Lord is good.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. We thank Him so much for everything that we have heard today.
Amen.
And all the presentations. We hope the mothers feel a great measure of respect.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Because we do love our mothers, whether they be on this side or not. And we'll talk a little bit about that. The word has much to say about that. Amen. Be careful there. Watch. Because they're kind of, don't get them too close to the speakers. Amen. We'll be good. All right. We give the Lord praise. And as we celebrate yet another Mother's Day, let us take time to reflect on the majesty that instilled by God Himself as we give honor to His design for this dynamic and powerful of all relationships. Amen.
Yes.
Within the human family is that relationship you have with your mother. Amen.
Amen.
Very, very special. And God has done some very majestic, powerful things in His design of the human family the way He did it. And we're going to talk about that just a little. I want to call your attention to a couple of texts. We have some papers of this sort. I think if you don't have one, you'd like to follow along with us. Raise your hand. We'll ask the ushers to make sure you get a copy. Amen. And we just thank God for the whole idea. And there's some very, very deep and profound things that you're going to see here as we look at these texts.
All right.
Today. From the book of 1 Samuel, we have some scripture that this is the prayer of Hannah. Some of you know about her.
Oh,
and
yes.
Most of you who study the word have studied Hannah. Mm-hmm. And this, of course, is Samuel, the prophet's mother, who was a very pivotal figure in the history of redemption. So we're going to ask you just to stand at this time as the deacons read these texts from 1 Samuel chapter number 2, about 10 verses, and a few verses in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm just going to ask them to read the first 5 verses in the New Testament passage down to verse 5. Amen. And let us read the 10 verses in the Old Covenant in 1 Samuel 2, 1 to 10. Amen.
Amen.
And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiced in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty man are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren had borne 7, and she that had many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and make alive. He bring it down to the grave and bring it up. The Lord make it poor and make it rich. He bring it low and lift it up. He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder unto them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed."
Amen, amen. May God bless the blessed word of the old covenant. And now for 5 verses of 2 Timothy chapter number 1.
"Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefather with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembered of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and my mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also.
Amen. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And we want to just talk briefly from the subject, Majestic Mysteries of Motherhood. Amen. Majestic Mysteries of Motherhood. Let us pray. Father, we bless you and praise you. Father, we lift up your name and just thank you for every good and perfect gift. You continue to bless us, O God, with favor.
Yes.
Even in spite of our disobedience many times, Lord, you continue to pour out favor and mercy upon such as us. And so, Lord God, for that, we thank you. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, and that you don't choose judgment but mercy when you deal with us.
Thank you.
And Father, today we have come to this day where we honor that institution of motherhood, O God.
Yes.
And so we thank you for that, Father. We have examined some things in your word that have let us know how majestic it is to have a mother.
Yeah.
O God, and what your design and your plan was in sending us into the world that way by way of a mother.
Yes.
And so, Father, today we ask you cleanse our minds, open our hearts and our understanding, O God, that we might understand some new things from your word, Father, that might comfort us through this week as we go out, O God, that these mothers would be blessed and realize another deeper level of their importance to society, O God, to their families, to their own surroundings, O God, and everything that is all spilled out in that majestic mystery of motherhood. And so, Lord, we ask you to be among us today. Give us new understanding. Bless the men that they might have a higher level of appreciation for the females that you have placed in their lives, O God.
Yes.
And we ask this in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ,
Jesus,
to whom be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We just thank God for everyone here today.
Amen.
Thank you that you came over to spend this part of your day with us.
Yes.
Amen. We're going to take a look here. Some things really occurred that I thought would be great for discussion, just to help us understand some of the magnificent things about our mothers.
All right.
Amen. I know it's always a sore subject because some of us, our moms are here, others, our moms are not.
Yeah.
And we love them dearly. And that was a very, very splendid relationship.
Yes.
One of the most tender of all relationships in existence.
Yes.
And so there's always a lot of mixed emotions on Mother's Day when we talk about the very subject, just because it is such a tender subject.
Yes.
And so I began to pray and ask God, why is that, Lord? Why is it that we have that close connection? Seems like in many ways it's probably more tender and more close than that we have with our paternal fathers. And there's a lot of confusion in society concerning the subject of parenting and all that today, with the way our culture is taking it and turning it around, flipped it on its head, and they want to say that any kind of a situation can create a family. But really, we know that it was never intended to be that way from the beginning.
Amen.
Because when you think about this, this is the thing that really puts a highlight on that for me. When you begin to read the Bible, it's talking about complete paradise. When God made everything, he saw it and it was good. And he went on through that for the whole 6 days of creation. Everything he made was good.
Yes.
And then he even got around to saying it was very good. By the time it got so far, there was no flaw, no problem, no sin. No, nothing to take away from the glory and the majesty of all that he made. And even now, after this many years, we look at what God made, and it's awesome. The earth is an awesome thing. When you just sit back and think about where you are, you're careening through space at thousands of miles an hour, going around in a circle, and you don't even know it. You feel like you're sitting right here and everything's all fine. But when you look at the whole scheme of the cosmos and all that God made, it's really awesome.
Yes, it is.
You know, we got sun, got heat and light coming in from 193 million miles away, putting a perfect kiss right on the planet so that we can have food and water and we can exist here.
Yes.
And it's tipped at the exact number of degrees as it hurls around through the atmosphere among the stars. That's some awesome stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, when you start to think about the awesomeness of God.
Yes.
And he's got fruits growing, reproducing after their own kind, and enough to provide you with food, and the seas teeming with fish so we can have all the lobster and stuff we like, which we're thinking about right about now. You know, all of that. He just made it where it's just abundant, filled with everything we need. And then after he had done all of that, he made man. The Bible says the last thing he did when everything was done, on the sixth day, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And then so he created us in his image. It says, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Very simple statement there in Genesis chapter number 1. God says, let us make man in verse 26 in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Gave us dominion over the fish of the sea. We're going to have some dominion right around when we get out of here over some of them fish. We got a little dominion over the catfish, a little bit over the buffalo, and we're going to have a little exercise our dominion just a little bit here. And he says here, and over the fowl of the air, we might even break out that beast and the flying the gospel bird, as they call it, or something here. We're going to be dealing with that, or the cattle. Somebody I might go to Longhorn and dine today, you see here. And he says he gave us dominion over all that.
Amen.
And so it says in verse 27, Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So simplistic,
yes.
So pure, so perfect,
yes.
You know. And we hear now that, oh, it's not just male and female, it's all kinds of different combinations and twists and turns. But what God made was simplistic, and this is what I really want you to see. We're going to move on in chapter 2. It says he gives another account of the creation of man, and then over when you get to verse 16 in Genesis, it says, let's look at verse 15, Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden and dressed it to dress it and keep it. So he gave him work.
Yes, he did.
Fruitful work, cultivating plants and vegetation in the Garden of Eden. Now notice verse 16 in your Bible, if you would look at Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So he gives one law in the midst of perfection.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden we get this in verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone.
Amen.
It's like, wow, wait a minute. Everything's perfect. He gave him one law. And then all of a sudden the Bible says, it is not good. Wow, that hits me like a ton of bricks. I don't know what it does for you.
Yes.
Everything's perfect, but God says, it is not good.
Yeah.
That the man should be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I will make him an help meet for him. A suitable helper is what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that man was alone is something that's not good even when everything was perfect.
Amen.
What was God's solution? It says here, he gives us a little bit more on the problem, Genesis 2:19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living thing, every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help suitable for him or an help meet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. So here we have the first mention of anesthesia. And Adam, he slept. And we have the first mention of surgery, and he took of the rib, it says here, and closed up the flesh there instead thereof. We would call that surgery. Okay, here this is way back in the beginning. And there was blood shed, and there was bone broken, and some serious things happened there when that surgery took place. But yet it was God who did it, the master creator. Amen.
Yes.
Notice in verse 22, in the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone. Notice this is Adam, the man speaking. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. So God wanted that thing to be special. That's the reason why he did it that way. That's one reason. There's so many reasons, it's countless. But let's just say he knew it was that Adam needed a special mate.
Yes.
And he had to make her special. She had to be special. And he was instituting what we call today motherhood.
All right.
Because Adam couldn't reproduce himself. He had no way to be reproduced. That's one thing that was not good.
Amen.
That he should be alone. I mean, he would be completely alone because he had no way to reproduce.
That's right.
And so God is telling you about that intimacy, how he took the woman out of man in order to make a helper suitable for man.
Yes.
To allow man to multiply.
Amen.
See, that's one benefit of mothers. We all come that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but you and I who study salvation, you know that God was also preparing a way for himself to take flesh.
Amen.
When the fullness of time was come, like it says in Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his son made of a woman.
Yes.
See, and so he was preparing a way to come into the world himself in order to redeem man.
Amen.
At the same time that he was preparing Adam a way to have a companion suitable for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And as simplistic as that is really profound. That's why we chose this topic, Majestic Mysteries of Motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Because God was not only making a way for man to reproduce himself physically, but he was also making a way for he himself in the fullness of time to take on flesh in order to redeem us from sin.
Milo.
Can you think about how deep that is?
Milo.
Yeah.
All the way back then. There is no sin yet. In this narrative in the Bible, sin hasn't happened yet.
That's right.
But God is already on the move producing a mother.
Amen.
In order to bring forth his son, Jesus Christ, when the fullness of time has come. So we see this. It's kind of tucked away in Genesis, but it's very, very powerful. That's the reason why we have such a great intimacy with our mothers.
Yes.
Because Adam had no way to reproduce himself, so God gave that to the woman to be able to bring man into the world. The seed was in Adam, and the place of cultivation of the garden in which he was to bear the seed would be in the woman. And she does not contribute to the bloodstream, we know, of that child. She carries the seed in her womb until he comes forth 9 months later after the gestation period. And we've all been through that because every one of us was born of a woman. Now, you know what? People who want to tell you all these other things about genders and all that, you can ask them, do you have a belly button? You know, they might, what, are you trying to get personal? You say, no, I'm not. I just want to know, do you have a belly button? If you did, you were born.
That's right.
If you don't, you were not born. You know, unless you had a surgically removed. We all come into the world the same way. And so basically birth comes from your mother. You were carried in the womb. And this is why we know there is no evolution. I'm going to be controversial today here. You know, because a belly button doesn't evolve. It comes from a placenta and an umbilical cord. You see what I'm saying? And so everybody, you know, with a belly button was born. They did not evolve. And that never happened in the history of time. That's the reason it can't be proven. But the fact is, there are some majestic mysteries in this concept of motherhood. This is what makes the bond so close with the child and the mother. The child is like an alien in her body, inhabiting her body from the moment of conception until he bursts forth into the world. We were talking about this a little on the Wednesday night Bible study. You may want to, I'm going to put in a commercial here, shameless plug. You may want to come because we discuss these kind of things in more detail when we have opportunity through the week. And we talk about how the baby comes forth now after it is born, and he is completely selfish.
Yes.
And how you have to grow out of being completely selfish. All I care about is me, 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 now, give me milk, milk, milk. I don't care if it's 2 in the morning, get up and feed me. And you're not going to get no rest until you do. And that's the way we come. This happened after sin, I'm sure, that we came here with that hedonistic attitude. And the mother, she gets up and has mercy, and she feeds him. And, you know, there's really nothing wrong with him. He just needs a little milk. So it's not like it's a big deal and the world's coming apart. But you can't tell that when you hear a little baby cry, can you? You know, he acts like, well, you know, everything is awful. And he just will not let nobody have no rest until you deal with him. Or I need my diaper changed, or whatever it is, and you got to do it right now. I'm not going to be happy. I'm an unhappy camper. But that's the kind of attitude we have when we come into the world. And so God has got to do a lot of work to work on us to get us right. Now, I just want to cut you over to some things. I didn't really mean to even go into all that. I just thought about it from the Wednesday night Bible class. But as we celebrate mothers for this special day, let us think about some of the things that God was planning when he created this majestic institution of motherhood. And that caused it to be something that should be highly highly honored by all mankind and all of time. It's such a special thing that we should have a day to set apart to honor this thing that God has done.
Yes.
Regardless of whether our mothers are yet with us or not with us, strictly for the beauty of the thing that God designed by giving us a mother.
Amen.
Every one of you came in here through a mother.
Yeah.
You know, there was nobody in a laboratory mistake or a clone. We don't have any of that in here. They're trying to make some if they can now, but they're not doing very well. But everybody who's here, we know we all came by way of a mother. So we have that to give God thanks and praise for.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So now in our lesson today, we have two different kinds of mothers I just wanted to zoom in on for Mother's Day. Number one is Hannah. Hannah was a woman who was barren. In other words, she was unable to bear a child.
That's right.
There may be someone that you know or yourself who has had issues in the area of reproduction. And here it was, her husband, these are God's people. They were people who worship God. But yet the husband was somewhat faithless. He didn't ask God to fix the problem. He just went and got another woman.
Yep.
Bought her in the house so she could have kids when he found out Hannah was unable to bear.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hannah hated that. Now, I don't have to tell you. I can tell by the way some of the women looking right now. Boy, that's no good. That's no good. Turkey, what did he do that for? You know, and that's the way you feel about that. And that's right, you know. But so what he did, he didn't ask God. He just said, I'll take it up on myself. Let me go over here and get Sally Sue. I'm not going to name a name here. But he got somebody else, another woman, bought her in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So she could have the kids. And he said he loved Hannah anyway, but I'm just going to take care of you, give you a double portion. I'll treat you extra good. But I need to have kids because having kids was a profound thing in those days. God had even commanded. I had one pastor told me that's the only command God gave that didn't get broken. And that's be fruitful and multiply. You know, it's probably true. You know, all the rest of them got broken, but you can look around, fruitful and multiply. We didn't break that one. And in either case here, in the case of Hannah, she was burdened in her soul because she was a godly woman.
Yes.
She loved him and she just couldn't understand, Lord, why not me? Why can't I have a kid? And you know what she did? She went and she decided she go to the temple where they went every year, go into the sanctuary by herself and offer prayer to God. Now, this is not that prayer, the one we have here. This is the prayer of victory after God answered her prayer that we have here. She went and she prayed. She poured out her soul before the Lord. And Eli the priest came in. She prayed till she ran out of words. I don't have nothing else to say, God, but I still need something. And she was just mumbling. You know, somebody said she might have been speaking in tongues. I don't know. But in either case, Eli came in and said, you drunk woman, get up from the altar. What are you doing in here? You know, called her a drunkard.
Yep.
Because he couldn't understand the depth of her prayer.
That's right.
She was praying, Lord, I need it. She really wanted God to come through for her. And she said, oh, no, my Lord, I'm not a drunken woman. Don't call me a daughter of Belial. I'm pouring out my soul to God.
Yes.
And Eli said, oh, okay. And he noticed she wasn't drunk. So he said, okay, I pray the Lord grant you the thing that you ask. And so she went away once she got that release from prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever do that where you have some on you so heavy that you just don't know what to do?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And you go to your prayer area or wherever you happen to be. I can have a prayer closet in my truck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going down the road. I don't have to be anywhere special. You know, if you need something, lift it up to God. Start asking. Start praying. You don't even have to have your eyes closed. You can pray with your eyes open. Jesus said, watch and pray, didn't he? You see? Watch and pray. You know. So you can be wide open with your eyes, but your mind can be tuned in to God. And if you really have a heavy petition for God and you bring it up to God, God will hear and answer prayer. Hannah's prayer was answered. She went away with her husband and the other woman and the kids. This other woman was mocking her. Now look what I'm doing for your man, and you can't do it. You know, you can imagine how that would be. That wouldn't go over well today, would it? In either case, so they go on back. Next thing you know, Hannah gets the announcement. She announces to Elkanah, her husband, that I'm with child. Like, wow, okay, blew his mind. He could have asked too, but he didn't. So sometimes we need to have more faith. God will answer your prayer. But you know what? The Bible says, and we studied this also Wednesday night, you have not because you ask not. Is there stuff you got going on that's out of whack?
Yeah.
And you've never asked God to fix it?
I know. All right.
That's what I want to ask you this morning. You know, this is a good thing about a praying mother. Sometimes a praying mother has insight into the life of her kids. She knows what you need. You might not even see it or know it. And that praying mother, she'll go get on her knees and start lifting up a petition for her son or her daughter. You see, you know what? God will answer that prayer. I believe all the time I was out there in the world in the flesh doing my thing, I was only preserved because my grandmother and my mother knew that my life was whacked. And I believe they prayed, and God continued to honor their prayers even after they weren't here anymore. See, because they're not here, that doesn't mean they don't exist. That means they're with God if they trusted Him. You see. But they had prayed, and God is still operating on a lot of us here on the prayers of our grandmother and our mothers. They prayed for us. You see, they may be praying for you right now. There might be some things going on in your life that need prayer right now, but prayer is a powerful thing. God answered Hannah's prayer. She had made a petition with God. If you give me a son, Lord, I'll give him back to you just so I can have one, because I'm tired of this situation the way it is. Can't take this no more. See, about to lose my mind over here, and he might become a victim here in a minute if you don't do something. You know, something's gonna go wrong over in here. So in either case, I don't know what she prayed. I'm just putting out the kind of stuff you might be thinking. In either case, God answered her prayer. She was with child. And so she had promised God, I will give him back. So for the next several months, she did not go back to the temple. She kept Samuel while he was an infant, and she breastfed him and raised him till he was weaned off her breast. And then she made him change his clothes and took him and gave him to Eli, the priest. She offered him right back to God. And Eli accepted him, and he lived in the temple all the days of his life. Did you know that? She gave him away, but then God gave her 7 more sons. After that, blessed her with 7. See, but Samuel, he became a pivotal figure in the let's call it in the progress of God's salvific plan in his giving salvation to his people, because Samuel was the last. He was the first of the judges and the last of the prophets. I mean, let's call it the last of the judges. I'm sorry, the first of the prophets. He was the last judge in the period of judges that you read about in between Deuteronomy and the book of Joshua, on through there, and he became the first of the prophets. Very powerful man, and he was devoted to God all his life. So what we have here is Hannah's prayer. I didn't mean to spend too much time with that, but Hannah said, she said her soul rejoices in the Lord. She says, my horn, that speaks of power and authority that you have on earth, is exalted in the Lord. In other words, my power comes from God. I am powered by God. You could say, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies. In other words, people talking about me, but I get the last word. Because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. She's giving the praise to God. For there is none besides thee. Neither is neither is there any rock like our God. She understood God can do anything. So now she's giving him the praise after he bought her out of this terrible situation. Talk no more so exceedingly proud. Now, this, in other words, you can shut your mouth now, because look at me. Let arrogancy not come out of your mouth, for the Lord is God of the God of knowledge. And by him actions are weighed. He is in charge. You thought you was kicking me over to the curb and all that. But God gets the last word, because I prayed and he answered me. The bowls of the mighty are broken. And they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired themselves out for bread. In other words, he's reversing everything that the world would do. And they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren had borne 7. See that? And she that had many children is waxed feeble. She's got children and growing old with a family. And it says here in verse number 5, they that were full were hired out themselves for bread. In other words, you thought you had it going on, but now you need to go seek some bread for yourself. You know, and so he flipped everything on his head from the way it was in her life. And so she's giving him praise. Notice verse 6, the Lord killeth and the Lord maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and he bringeth up. This is a passage that teaches resurrection. From the dead. See that? The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. So he has control over where we are financially in our lives. Amen. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the beggar out of the dunghill to set apart princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. See that? And for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. So she knows who's in charge. He will keep the feet of his saints. In other words, you trust God, he will keep you on the right path.
He will.
And the wicked will be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God says, he's got it all in control, and Hannah acknowledges this. Now notice in verse 10, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces, and out of heaven shall a thunder upon them. And the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, speaking of Messiah, Jesus Christ,
yes.
And exalt the horn of his anointed.
Model.
See, so she prophesies the coming of Jesus. Now, I wanted you to see the second mother in our study here, just for this brief time, is the mother and grandmother. See, it's the only mention of grandmother in the Word. Here, and it talks about Timothy, who was the understudy of the Apostle Paul.
That's right.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Now, he's not his physical son, but he is his spiritual son.
Yes, he is.
Grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, he says, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, you see that?
Yes.
And thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. So this heritage of grandmothers passing down the word to the next generation, mothers passing it on down to the next generation.
Yes.
The mothers play a very powerful role in the development of leaders.
Yes.
In the church.
Yes, they do.
And so you always have input into what's going on, the way you nurture and spiritually train your children, as well as pray for them and where they stand in the world.
Amen.
So the institution of motherhood is a little bit more personal, because normally the man is the one who has to go out and make the bread, or so to speak, and the woman has a lot more time to nurture and develop a child.
Yes.
So in child development, the role of the mother is extremely important.
Amen.
And basically, even if the child doesn't know it, we don't see so much of the routine thing today in our time, but in this lesson, these two mothers are responsible for nurturing two of the most influential figures in the Bible, namely Samuel and Timothy, both notably godly and austere leaders in the succession and the transmission of godly teaching, which is left on record to be essential to the perpetuation of God's plan of salvation on mankind. You always have to have people trained and prepared, and the mothers play a very significant role in doing that.
Amen.
And so the power of a praying mother should always be honored, for motherhood is a majestic thing.
Yes.
It's a godly thing. It's a wonderful thing when it is done right.
Oh, yes.
Amen. We need more praying mothers. I thank God that my mother and my grandmother, that's why we wanted to sing that grandma's hymn.
Yeah.
Amen. Because I think about my grandma and all she did for me as well as my mother. And so it's a very powerful thing, and it's designed by God to elevate womanhood to an extreme that is honorable.
Yes.
For which... We all should celebrate, if for no other reason than for the fact that it is through them that we're here. We couldn't even be here.
That's right.
To do whatever we do for God if you hadn't come through a mother.
Amen.
Amen. So we honor our mothers. We thank God for you.
Yes, we do.
And we pray that his very best would be yours. Yes. I hope today you have a higher view of yourself. That was one of the ideas of this message, to help you see just how significant you are.
Yes.
A lot of things in the world take away from your significance.
Yes.
We have people saying they want to have two guys and we'll go and adopt a kid, or two women, or this type of thing. But motherhood is a very personal, special thing.
Yes, it is.
And it's a beautiful thing to be able to have a child and speak into their life and raise them up in the way of the Lord.
Amen.
And pray for them, guide them through life, and watch them go.
Yes.
Even in the Proverbs, and I'll close with this, it says, now this is speaking to the father's side, and we'll be getting to that by the time Father's Day comes. It says the children are heritage from the Lord. And it says that blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They're like arrows in the hands of a mighty man. You see? And so the directive of children is something very, very critical. And I think it's something being highly neglected in our society.
Oh, yes.
And it's being trying to be flipped over as though it's not an important thing. So it's very important you realize that you are important. You have made a difference in somebody's life, and you can continue to do that. Even if it's not your own children personally.
Yes.
It can be somebody else's children, just like Paul speaking here into the life of Timothy. He didn't really bring Timothy in the world, but he picked him up and took him under his wing, and he became a disciple, and he became a pastor passing the word of God on. But Paul was his spiritual father.
Yes, he was.
You see, so the mothers can do that. Take some of these young ladies who are stepping out of the way, take them under your wing and show them how God would have them to live.
Amen.
Amen. Share your experience and your wisdom with someone else.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Having said that, we thank God for all of our mothers and their many, many majestic mysteries in motherhood. Amen. I'm sure they'll come to be known more and more. And there are other messages on our website pertaining to that subject if you ever want to study that in a little more detail. But at this time, we're going to call for an opening for membership. If anybody would like to become a member of the St. Timothy MB Church, we invite you to come at this time. You can come for salvation, or you can come already being saved. Either way, just come have a seat right here on this front row, and we'll be happy to receive you. We need as much help as we can get, so if you're here today and you'd like to connect with us, do it at this time. Amen. We're calling for you to come. You can say that you came on Mother's Day, and that'll be a good day to help you remember when you became a member. Amen. Amen. Come right now. Amen. Don't be ashamed. You all may stand at this time. Make it a little easier for your neighbor to come up if they'd like to come. Amen. We'll get you standing, and then we'd like to have you come on forward. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. God gave his son in order to make all this possible. He says, I'll accept you freely. Most of us are familiar with John 3:16.
Yes.
That simply says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now look at there. God borrowed the female frame in order to bring his son, Jesus, into the world, who was not touched. This mother, Mary, was not touched by a man. But she was with child of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And God used that very, very thing to bring his own son into the world without sin, because he had already prepared that when he made Eve.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome to think about?
Oh, yes.
When he made Eve and said it's not good that man should be alone, he was already thinking about Jesus.
Amen.
Bringing him into the world to redeem sinners like me.
Yes.
To wash us from our sin. And to bring him in with none of Adam's blood so that he could be holy and without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen. So if you're here today and you'd like to come, we'd love to have you.
Amen.
We stretch forth the red carpet for you to come right now.
Amen.
Amen. And we would be happy to have you be a member of the St. Timothy MB Church and continue in your studies with us.
Yes.
Amen. So we want to invite you to come right now.
Amen.
Come to Jesus.